Good morning, Cedarville. Hope you guys are doing well. Welcome to Junior Class Chapel. My name is Justin Schlabel, the Junior Class Chaplain, and I have the privilege to speak to you guys today. I want to say thank you to all the people who made it out to chapel. Thanks so much for being here with us today. And thank you to all who are tuning in on the live stream. We're so happy to have you with us as well. Today we're going to be in Matthew 11, 25 through 30. So if you want to turn your Bibles there, that would be stellar. Man, obviously right now, this chapel is looking a little different than it normally would, right? I'm in quarantine right now. I was a close contact with somebody who's got COVID, and so I have to stay in my dorm for 2 weeks. And so I'm super thankful for the technology that allows me to be able to speak to you guys today. So welcome to chapel from Waller 22D. This is my dorm room. Took some stuff down, rearranged some stuff so that it would look better. I had a Browns flag behind me, but I took that down because, you know, they're not doing the greatest right now. So had to get that out of here. But anyway, like I said, we're going to be in Matthew 11, 25 through 30. So in honor of the reading of the Word of God, if you're in the chapel, would you stand? And if you're on the live stream, would you stand as well? Starting in verse 25, it says, "At that time, Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.'" You guys can be seated. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thanks so much for your word and the encouragement that it is to us. God, thanks so much for the truth of Matthew 11, 25 through 30, realizing that when we come to you, because of your gentle invitation to us, Lord, we get to enter into true rest with you. So Lord, we love you so much. Speak to us today. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, you know what's super interesting to me? It's the fact that somebody can oversleep, right? Like, how can somebody get too much sleep? You know, you and I are probably used to not getting a lot of sleep because we're college students. We may be pulling all-nighters or playing video games with our friends till 1 a.m. or even having some great conversations in our dorm room till 1 a.m. But, and so you and I know that we are not used to getting a lot of sleep, right? In fact, a lot of us undersleep, right? And so what's our solution to this? Well, our solution is to add on a few extra hours to our sleep schedule when we can, right? It's like, man, I've got 6 hours of sleep last night, so I'm going to go and get 10 hours of sleep this time. That'll be good. I'll like even it out and I'll be super rested for the next day. And even though we do that and we get that 10 hours of rest, you and I both know that when we wake up and we oversleep, we kind of feel worse than before. And by kind of feel, I mean we really do feel worse than before. Now, obviously, there's got to be a balance in our sleep schedules. But if you're like me, that's kind of what I what I think being rested is like, right? Like, man, just having some downtime for once or maybe getting more and more sleep, and then I'll be just fine, right? But, you know, the more sleep we get, the less rested we feel, which is so confusing to me. You know, and the reality is we often try and find our rest in the wrong things, right? We run to our sleep. We run to our shows. And even when we are spiritually tired or burnt out from life or in sorrow and pain, we run to those things too. But the reality is those things won't give us rest. And Jesus will give us rest because he is the source that of rest that your soul needs. So let's break this passage down here. And the main point of this message is this. Because of Jesus' gentle invitation, we can be brought into true rest. Because of Jesus' gentle invitation, we can be brought into true rest. And we see here that this passage is broken up into two sections. The first section is Matthew 11, verses 25 through 27. And it's Jesus calling out to the unqualified. And the second section is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And it's Jesus invites the broken, burdened, and unqualified into true rest. So let's check out verses 25 through 27 here. It reads, "At that time, Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him.'" Right here, Jesus, he's calling out to the unqualified, and he's kind of attacking the pride of man here, right? How often do we think that people aren't qualified enough to be used by the Lord, to understand the things of the Lord? And how often do we think that we are not qualified to understand the things from the Lord? And from this verse, we see that Jesus isn't in the business of using the people who are good enough. No, he's not even in the business of using the people that everyone would expect. Because Jesus he's literally thanking the Father for revealing these things about himself to the humble, to the unexpected, to the unqualified, to the little children. And this reveals God's heart for us. This reveals that you don't have to be qualified enough for God to work in you. You don't have to pick up all the pieces in your life in order to go to God. You don't have to be wise and understanding in the world's mind for God to use you. And we can see that here in verse 25, that Jesus is thanking the Father for his heart for the little children, which oftentimes is us, the unqualified, the humble. And we see in verse 26, as it reads, "Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." This was God's gracious will for us, that the humble, the unqualified, will be able to understand the things of God. My friends, that is amazing. You know, it reminds me of a verse from James 4:6, and it says this, it says, "But he gives us more grace." And that is why the scripture says, God opposes the proud and shows favor to the humble. Man, how beautiful is it that we serve a God who desires for the little children and the humble and the unqualified to know him. And my friends, how great is it when we see a child, when we see a kid want to pursue God fully? That kind of faith, it blows me away. Because childlike faith is something special. It's about going all in for Jesus, no matter the stipulations, no matter the cost. They are fully focused on Jesus, no matter what. And this verse shows God's deep compassion and inexpressible love for us. That the God of the universe desires that the humble, the lowly, the unqualified, the little children would know him deeply. My friends, that is a God who we live for. That is the God that we live for. A God with fierce compassion and love for you to know him. Regardless of your status, regardless of what the world tells you, he wants you to know him. And that's a powerful truth. And as we continue, we take a look at verse 27. And it says, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Now we read this verse, and obviously it's about how Jesus is the exact revealing of the Father. Now this is kind of interesting to insert into this passage. You know, in a passage that's talking about rest in the unqualified. You see, the first two verses are Jesus calling out to the unqualified, and then the last two are talking about how the broken and the burdened go to him for rest. But what is this verse doing in here? It's talking about Jesus being the revealing of the Father. Well, this verse is in here to show us who God is. Jesus revealing the Father shows that he has a heart for the humble. And this shows that God has a heart for the children and for the humble and the unqualified. Because Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. Hebrews 1:3 tells us that. And Jesus is showing that the Father's heart for you is to find true rest, to find out the things that are from God, to find freedom from your burdens, to show you that you don't need to be qualified for him to work in you. You just have to trust him. So my question to you this morning is this. Do you trust the truth that God can work in you? Do you trust that God can use you even though you're unqualified? Because if you feel like you're unqualified, my friends, you are in great company. Because we're all unqualified. We're all unqualified to work for the Lord, but God, in his compassion, made a way for him to work in us and for us to go to him. And that's the truth of the gospel. And now, my friends, it's no secret that we're in a really tough season together, right? You know, we've just come off 5 months of being away from Cedarville, and now we're a month in and we're still involved in this pandemic. And maybe this summer was hard for you. Maybe this summer was destructive for you in many ways. You know, maybe old sin patterns started to take hold of you again, and you thought you were free from them, but they're grabbing you by the ankle again. Or maybe doubts started to creep up in your mind about who God is. Or maybe you've made a mistake during the summer that haunts you to this day. And you might be thinking thoughts like, I can't be redeemed. I went too far for God to ever forgive me. I could never be set free. My friends, but this is why verse 27 here is so encouraging. Because right in the middle of this passage, Jesus is reminding us who he is. And he's revealing that his heart is a revealing of the Father's heart. And God's heart is for you. It is for you to be set free from your sin, to be redeemed from your sin, and to be dependent on him. You know, this summer was tough for us in many ways. But the beautiful thing is that it revealed the depth of our depravity and our brokenness. And we see that in this verse, and kind of a timely reminder here is that in the depth of our depravity, the depth of our depravity is swallowed up by the depth of God's love for us. The depth of our depravity is swallowed up in the depth of God's love for us. The depth of God's love for you. And so, from these verses, we can see that Jesus, he calls out to the unqualified. Now let's shift into the next section of this passage, and it's how Jesus invites the broken, the burdened, and unqualified into true rest. Now we read verse 28 here. It says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus, he's inviting those who are burdened and in need of rest to come to him. Why? Because he knows that true rest comes from nothing else other than himself. The reality is nothing else will satisfy you like Jesus will. Jesus is the true source of rest, and so often we miss that in our lives. We tend to turn to our friends for rest and satisfaction. We tend to fill up our schedules and go on trips and throw on Netflix and play video games or sleep until 11 a.m. or go on drives in order for us to find rest. But the ironic thing is those things don't give us rest. They may make us feel good in the moment, and maybe we'll have more energy during the day, but those things do not give rest to our souls. And so many people will tell you that you need to find rest in other things other than Jesus. But what Jesus is saying here is do not run to those other things. Don't you realize that you need to come to me to have rest? The cool thing about this verse here is that this isn't just a command to run to Jesus, but it's also a plea to go to Jesus. You know, Jesus is saying, man, please come to me. Please, because I can give you the rest that you're looking for. And the reality is that Jesus, he knows what's best for us. And he wants what's best for you. And he's pleading with you to go to him to find the rest that you need, because he knows that these other things that you're trying to find your rest in, those won't give you the true rest that you need. But he will. And that's why he's pleading with you to come to him. See, those burdens, the pain that you've felt that have characterized your life over these last few months or maybe these last few years can be released by Jesus. You know, Jesus, he's in the business of healing your heart and setting you free from your burdens. The burdens that have held you captive continually over the years, yeah, he wants to give you rest from them. Because true freedom is found in Jesus Christ. True salvation is found in Jesus Christ. And true rest is found in Jesus Christ. And no one else and nothing else will ever satisfy your soul. Because only Jesus can do that for you. So my friends, go to him to find the rest that you're looking for. Don't run to anything else except for Jesus. And the reality is, I wish I could tell you I was perfect at this, but I'm not. The reality is, I'm so guilty of running to those other things to find my rest rather than Christ. I'm extremely guilty of trying to work and work and work to get all my assignments done so that I can just sit back and relax and get that rest that I need. But the more I've realized this over these last few weeks is, you know, the reality is, that actually adds more and more pain onto me. It actually piles up on my shoulders, causing me to feel restless and burdened. You know, throughout these last weeks and even these last 4 or 5 days of quarantine, I've realized that when I am rested in the Lord, there's no more worrying about the outcomes of my work or my circumstances, because the burden is taken off of me and it's put on Christ. And the coolest thing is, Christ is not intimidated by our burdens. He's not intimidated by our flaws or our shortcomings or our brokenness. No, he welcomes them. Why else would Jesus command us and plead with us to go to him in verse 28? Well, the people who are weary and burdened and broken, why would he even ask us to come to him? Why would he say, come to me? It's because he's not intimidated by the brokenness. If Jesus was intimidated by our mess, he wouldn't have invited us into his rest. If Jesus was intimidated by our mess, he wouldn't have invited us into his rest. And continuing on, we look at verses 29 and 30, and it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly at heart. You will find rest for your souls. Now, earlier this week, I was talking to somebody about this passage, and they admitted to me that they didn't know what a yoke was up until very recently. They thought a yoke in this passage, what Jesus was talking about here, they thought a yolk was the stuff that was inside of an eggshell. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is talking about a yoke, and a yoke is a wooden cross piece that is fastened over the necks of two animals. It's attached to a plow or a cart, and the animals are supposed to pull the cart. And so what Jesus is saying here is amazing. He's saying, let me take that yoke that's on you, the one that you're trying to pull so hard, and it's hard and it's heavy, let me take that. And I will give you my yoke, which is easy and light. Let me take your yoke off of you. And Jesus doesn't stop there. He then says, now learn from me. You know, learning from Jesus is life-giving. But it's also a process. It's a process because too often we go back to our burdens after we experience peace with Jesus. You know, I run back to my burdens all the time. And I often have to ask myself, man, why do I keep going back to these things? And I have to be reminded of the truth of Galatians 5:1, where it says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Do not be burdened by the yoke of slavery again. You see, learning from Jesus makes us realize that we don't have to carry our burdens anymore. Man, you don't have to pick up the pieces of the mess that you've made in order to run back to Jesus. You don't have to pretend like you're okay and everything is strong and steady for you to run back to God. No, your past may grip you, but it doesn't have to anymore. And that's what Jesus is saying to us right here. He's saying, come to me with your shackles. Come to me with your burdens. Come to me with your chains. Come to me with your pain, and I will give you the rest that you need. Not only that, I will teach you what it looks like to live with a burden that is light and easy. Do not be burdened by slavery again. And when we run to Jesus in our brokenness, he isn't harsh. He isn't brutal. No. He's gentle. Jesus is gentle in our burdens. He's gentle in our despair. And Jesus gently invites us into who he is so that we will find rest for our souls. And Jesus, he's inviting you into true refreshment, into your soul's deepest need. And not only that, he's not only inviting you into a present rest, but he's also inviting you into an eternal rest. My friends, there will come a day when we will enter into eternal rest with Jesus. The afflictions that we face every single day will be wiped away, and there will be no more brokenness, no more pain, and no more burdens. If you are in Christ, you will experience this rest for eternity. Revelation 21:4 says this. It says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. You know, Matthew 11:28 is a beautiful verse because the rest that Jesus is talking about is not only a present reality, but it's also a future hope that we can look to. You know, I love the song, There Will Be a Day, by Jeremy Camp. And in the bridge of that song, he writes these powerful lyrics. It says, man, I can't wait until that day where the very one I've lived for always will wipe away the sorrow that I face, to touch the scars that rescued me from a life of shame and misery. Oh, this is why I sing. My friends, there will be a day when we experience true rest if we are in Christ. And I can't wait until that day. So from these verses, we can see that Jesus invites the broken, the burdened, and the unqualified into true rest. So how do we respond? How do we respond to the truth in this passage? You know, maybe for you, maybe you've been holding on to a personal yoke that has been pulling you down for so long. Well, where can you go to get rid of that yoke? Well, run to the truth that Jesus is telling us to here. He's telling us to run to Him. My friends, run to Jesus. Go to Him in prayer and ask Him to lift that burden off of you. You know, too often we try to take off our burden and we try and take off our yoke and we end up adding to it, right? And so maybe for us, maybe for some other people, we need to ask ourselves, what am I running to? What are we running to instead of Christ? Are we running to the things that make our yoke hard and heavy? Or are we running to the things that make our yoke light and easy, which is Jesus? You know, too often we tend to go to others first before we take our burdens to Christ. And, you know, we often have this abstract standard in our minds that makes us think that our burden isn't big enough to take to the Lord. Or we may think that our burden is too big for God to work. But Jesus, in verse 28 here, He says, "Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden." He says, all. And all means everyone. So no matter what you're going through, big or small, Jesus is inviting you into experience the true rest and freedom that only He has to offer. So what do we have to do? How do we get this rest? Well, we have to remind ourselves of the truths of Matthew 11:28 and Revelation 21:4. And so how do we remind ourselves of those beautiful truths? Well, we run to God's Word. You hear it all the time, but God's Word is so good because it's a guide to life. And it allows us to seek the things that are above this world, which is why we can go to His Word for rest for our souls. And the yoke that is hard and painful, it tends to trip us up in many ways because this world is broken and flawed. And due to our sin, we must remind ourselves of the yoke of Christ every single day. And so my challenge to you is to wake up every morning and surrender the burdens that are on you to Christ and to take the yoke of Christ upon yourself. Every single morning, remind yourself of Matthew 11:28 and Revelation 21:4. And the reason we have to remind ourselves of this every single day is because we haven't entered into that eternal rest yet. And last, a person with rest, what will their life look like? Well, a lot of times we like to think of ourselves when we're in the midst of our burdens. And a person with true rest that comes from Jesus tends to stop looking at themselves and starts being caught up in what Christ is doing, whether that be in their own lives or in the lives of other people. And so when the focus is off of ourselves and on Jesus, then that is where we are most rested. Because of Jesus' gentle invitation, we can be brought into true rest. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, You are so good and so amazing, and we're so thankful for Your mercies that are new to us every single morning. God, thanks so much for the truth of this passage of Matthew 11:25-30, talking about true rest that doesn't come from the things of this world, but comes from only You. Lord, help us to remind ourselves daily of the truths of Your Word and the truth that we can go to You for true rest. Lord, we love You so much. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.